I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. It never ends. How much more nonsense do we have to put up with? But I'll tell you what, I'm starting to get a better feeling. I'm starting to think that maybe things are starting to percolate. We see that the Attorney General, Mr. Barr, has appointed not a special prosecutor, which is reserved for specific reasons that you would get a special prosecutor, but he has appointed a prosecutor from the Department of Justice from Connecticut to start looking into all the nonsense of why they went after President Trump, which is really what we want to talk about a little bit. I'm going to get into that. We also have, I got to tell you, when it comes to political correctness, you know, a while ago, a lot of people started to see political correctness as, you know, it was an anomaly when it first started. It was funny. You know, we could laugh at it. You know, people flailing and wailing over, political correctness. But now we see political correctness is not only a part of what we do, it is almost entrenched into American society and how things work. Excuse me. So we're going to talk a little bit about political correctness because there is a professor, a Harvard professor, who was just fired. Him and his wife were fired because of his choice to represent Harvey Weinstein, the TV movie guy who was accused of all kinds of sexual assaults. He was fired from the university because the students, they did a climate survey, and the students didn't feel comfortable having someone on staff who would represent someone who was horrible. They didn't feel safe around a guy that would do that. And you know what? I have a lot of different thoughts about a lot of these different professors and how they treat things. I think this guy was doing what lawyers are supposed to do. Everyone deserves a defense. And he was going out there to defend him. And the fact that these students they didn't feel safe around someone who would do that. They don't understand how political correctness is going to lead them right down the rat hole of tyranny. And that's really what it's coming down to. You know, how much more clear can all of this be? Does anyone else have their eyes open? Does anyone else know history? Does anyone else see how humanity deals with these things? Do we know where we're going? You know, sometimes I feel like a nut. I sit here and I go, well, I see it. I see what's happening. I see where this could lead, and I use the word could very closely, where it could lead because I study history and I see how things have happened to other groups of people. You know, we take for granted that we're a nation of freedom. We take for granted our Constitution. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's a piece of paper that is only as strong as you and me and all the rest of the 350 million Americans who decide to abide by it. When that number switches and it's 51% against the 49%, and the 51 doesn't want to abide by it anymore, guess what? It has no power whatsoever. So all these things are just amazing to me as these things happen. I want to talk to you about Malcolm's new show, Voice of a Nation. I got to tell you, America Out Loud is really an unbelievable location for talk and ideas and thoughts. You know, a lot of places say that they're the place for talk and opinion. And America Out Loud, I got to tell you, you can't go wrong with this. And Voice of a Nation is another program by Malcolm. You know, I think one of these times I'm going to grab him and drag him onto my show, and I'm going to interview him. Because this guy interviews everybody. He is a whirlwind of energy. He is pro-American, pro-military, pro-cop. He's a good and decent man, and he created this platform for all of us. He had a vision about what it would be like to have a place where we could all just talk about things that are important. Right or wrong. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been on one of his different programs, Viewpoint, or recently he did have me on Voice of a Nation. I'm very, very flattered and honored that he would have me on his program. But I got to tell you, the first thing he said to me is, hey, We're going to talk about some topics. And don't be afraid to slap me around, because you know what? I'm here to talk. I'm not here to just make points and have my point be correct. You know, where do you hear that? Where do you hear that from anybody in the media that comes out and says, hey, I'm willing to argue with it. I'm willing to be proved wrong. Prove me wrong. You don't see that in any of these liberal networks. It's just, that's one of the things I guess I have a problem with when I watch them. There's no curiosity. There's no trying to figure out what the truth is. There's simply, we have our point of view and we're going to win. We're going to make points no matter what, even if we have to lie. Even if we have to make it up, even if we have to twist the truth to follow what we want to believe. Who does that? You're delusional if you do that. You're delusional, just like in your personal life. If you know you've got problems and you choose not to address your problems head on, you're delusional. So I know a lot of people that have these problems. I am a person that I have always demanded of myself, dude, if somebody brings something up to you and it turns out you're doing something wacky or weird or wrong or your thoughts are not right, wouldn't you rather fix that than just keep going on and on and on? But I know a lot of people that their egos, I guess, can't handle it. I am never afraid to be called out or to be told I'm wrong. Because you know what I'm going to do? Then I'm going to explore it and I'm going to figure it out. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to jump up and down and go, you know what? I was wrong about that. And here's what I think now. There's nothing wrong with changing your mind. There's nothing wrong with being persuaded. People are scared to death of being persuaded because that means they were wrong and I can't ever be wrong. That's ridiculous. The truth is what the truth is in any given situation. And if we're looking at it the wrong way, if we have some kind of a bias, if we have some kind of a life experience that makes us believe something, and then we're faced with the facts and we can't really look at it because it'll change. It'll ruin our entire life position of something. You're not really living a real life then at that point. You're pretending. You're maintaining a position to maintain your own personal status quo, but you're not really living correctly. Now I'm getting off on a tangent here because you know what? That's what I do sometimes. You know, we gotta think, ladies and gentlemen. Thinking is okay. Finding out you're wrong is okay because that allows you to get right, to get straight, to figure out where you need to be. So I want to talk about this. This professor from Harvard, I got to tell you, the fact that he wanted to represent Harvey Weinstein. Now, I know we all have an opinion of Harvey Weinstein. And you can say, hey, people are charged with things all the time they didn't do. Well, when you have, one witness, then you have two, then you have three, then you have 20 that come forward, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's usually something that was going on. Now, I'm not going to say the guy's guilty till the court says he's guilty. My opinion, when I look at all these witnesses, they can't all be lying. I think he probably did some bad things. But, you know, a court will determine that. But the fact that this attorney wanted to go forward, Attorney Sullivan, he's Professor Sullivan. I don't know anything else about the guy. He's a Harvard professor, so I would have to imagine, my first thought would be that he's a very liberal, left-wing kind of guy. But I don't know him. I could be completely wrong. But I know Harvard is very left-wing and liberal. But when I heard that this guy decided he's going to represent Harvey Weinstein because he believes Harvey Weinstein, like everybody else out in America, you and me, deserves an attorney when you're charged with a crime. You deserve to be represented by somebody who understands the law, somebody who knows the law. Right? I mean, isn't that what you would want? What if you're wrongly accused of something and people all think you're guilty? Well, no lawyer will come near you. But the fact that these students, these snowflakes, and I hate that term snowflake, but these snowflakes come forward and they say, we don't feel safe with a lawyer who would represent a guy who's obviously so guilty. First of all, they don't know he's guilty. And number two, I have to give kudos to Professor Sullivan because he made a point. He said, what these kids don't understand is that many of the court cases that have affirmed our rights or who have helped us to define our rights and our position in society have come because of attorneys representing people who were guilty, people who did horrible things. If you can't define these things appropriately, then we don't have a system. What did I say in a previous episode? This is not a game. This is not a game. This is a place for adults to think, to figure out what the heck we're doing here. Because we're letting all of this go. We're becoming a joke. And it's a funny joke until it lands in your life. Okay? So that's we're going to talk about that. First, I'm going to go back to what I'm going to call Comey versus Clapper. Now, as this situation heats up, as we see the Attorney General start to investigate all the players and all the wrongdoing that was done, this gigantic coup attempt. And I'm telling you, if it all comes out, I can see as clear as a day. I'm an investigator. And if you don't start with some kind of an investigative opinion of what you think you have, doesn't mean you jump to a conclusion and follow only what you think. It means you have to come to some idea of what you think happened and then start to vet that out, right or wrong. Are my opinions and my thoughts and the evidence leading me in one way or another? But you have to have a direction to go at first. Okay? So if you have an assault case, you got to figure, okay, somebody was assaulted, they were hurt, and who could have done it? Well, let's see. This person says it was Bob Jones. Well, I need to initially look at Bob Jones because the victim said it was Bob Jones. Well, in this case, we have the people, the president, the evidence that's coming out, the testimony that we have, the secret testimony, which is now coming out, saying that all of this investigation was a scam. This whole setup was a scam against President Trump. And like I've said 1,000 times, you can mark this down, and eventually this is going to come out. And you're going to say, you know, I heard Lieutenant Joe say that. A lot of people have. I'm not taking the sole credit for this. But it was clear to me from day one that they fully expected that Hillary would have won, and we never would have heard a single word about any of this. Doesn't that frighten you? That they could have done all of these backdoor things using all the powerful agencies in our country, the laws, the courts, search warrants, everything they could have used against a private citizen to do what they wanted to do. They could have twisted the entire American justice system. And we never would have heard a word about it. It would have just been, well, Hillary won, and that's the end of that. And now she's the president. We never would have known this. So it's kind of like a blessing that Trump won, because all of this is coming out. If his presidency does nothing else, it pointed out this almost crazy coup attempt that took care of, that happened in our life. So I'm watching the news, and I'm seeing all of these big mouths on the left who were so anti-Trump, so fist-fighting against Trump, so positive in their opinions, that he was guilty, 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 and we have to investigate more and investigate more and investigate more. Now we see Bob Mueller saying, we need to investigate more what went on here. And what are they doing? They're jumping up and down screaming and saying, this is not America. This is a tyranny where you investigate the investigate. Now, wait a minute. I thought you wanted more investigation. There's no proof anybody did anything. Oh, but you investigated when there was no proof. There's no reason to go any further. Well, you're going further when there's no reason to go further. Matter of fact, on your side, there's a report from Bob Mueller who says Trump didn't do anything. And you still want to go further. So here we have all this evidence that's come out that's like a bunch of smoking embers around a campfire. And where there's smoke, there's fire. And all you got to do is get a little air on there, get a little circulation, and those embers burst into flames. And that's what they're all afraid of. So I'm watching this Clapper guy who came out and he was vehement and he was vicious and he was angry on all these TV shows about Trump did this and Trump did that and his supporters are this and they're lying and everybody's... And now they're looking at him and suddenly you see, if you look real close, you see the whole demeanor of the man has changed. And I look beyond that demeanor and I see basically a humana, 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 because I think he knows what's coming. If, like I've said a couple of times, if this is a real investigation, I think he knows what's coming, because there's nobody to protect him at this point. You have a president and a Senate who are to the right, and now you have an attorney general who's determined to clear this mess up, because I think Bob Barr And you know how I feel about this. I think he might be a swamp guy that's going to let this all blow over, do a good case, and then, you know, kind of let it happen. I'm hoping that that's not the case. I'm hearing from lots of different people that he's not, that that's not him. But I have my reservations until I see it, you know. But anyway, I think we're starting to see emerge is this potential that we might get some answers. Like I said previously in another episode, we might not get the satisfaction of seeing people frog marched out in handcuffs. But we might get to see a report that says they were wrong and did the wrong thing. And at least that'll be on the record. Now I expect the media to, obviously they've taken sides. The media has taken sides. They don't care about the truth. It's not about the truth. They are about protecting what they believe. They're about protecting their point of view. They're about protecting everything they've said for the past 2 years. Because they all look like complete idiots if the truth really comes out. So I'm watching Clapper now, and he says, well, you know, we don't investigate citizens. We investigate foreign powers. And when you look and you see, who was it, George Papadopoulos, the young man that they went after, and they targeted him. What did they do? The whole thing was set up to get him over to England so that he was not under the American law. He was over in England, and the CIA could jump in there. You know, Mr. Clapper and his group. They could jump in there and do what they wanted to do. So you see again and again how powerless you are to these people. If they want to play you, they are going to play you. So this is going to be interesting. And now we're going to see Comey versus Clapper, because as the noose starts to get closer around the guilty, they are going to start fighting to save themselves. And the way you do that is you start pointing. And the first one to point the finger of guilt at someone else sets up the storyline. So you're going to start to see these people point the fingers at each other. Well, it wasn't me, it was him. I didn't come up with it. I was told to do this and that. Now, that's what we can hope. Now, in every case that I've investigated where there's multiple players, obviously what we do is you go after a weak link in the chain, you lock them up, they have charges on them, and you say, hey, first one that comes forward with information might get a deal. And then you see all these people within the conspiracy jump up and decide, hey, I better mitigate what's going to happen to me, or I can try and get out from under it, but I'm going to tell you what happened. And that's the power of a prosecution. And we might start to see that as the attorney general goes after these people. So we're going to talk about that. I have so much more. I have so much more to talk about here on Chasing Justice, but we'll be back in a couple of minutes and we'll dig right into it. So remember, thanks for listening to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
And ask you to go to thewoundedblue.org. That's www.thewoundedblue.org. That is the website for the organization that is the National Association for Injured and Disabled Police Officers. It is a support organization for these men and women who have given so much in the line of duty. We desperately need your help to raise money to get this movement going. And if you are a GoFundMe-er, go to GoFundMe, look up The Wounded Blue, and you can give there as well. But check it out, please, and also check out our film, The Wounded Blue, on Amazon.com.
Welcome back, ding, 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 to round two here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Well, first of all, I want to thank all the people who have been following me on Facebook, and on Twitter, and on the other platforms that are out there. I'm on LinkedIn also. You know, on Facebook, you can go to Chasing Justice, and you can find the show and see some pictures of some of the guys that have been on here and the different people who have been on. You can go to @PangaroGlobal which is where you'll find me on Twitter. So I would really like everybody that's listening to go on there and follow me and send me some comments. You can email us here at jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. We love to hear from everybody. I love to hear your comments and suggestions and criticisms and everything. I'd like to hear what you think of the show and what we're doing here. All right, so as we move into round two here, when I was on Malcolm's new program, Voice of a Nation, you know, he always picks topical topics that are happening, that are in the news. And you know from listening here that, you know, part of what I do is I do threat assessments. I try and keep schools safe. I do training for schools and businesses and for the police officers that are out there. And one of the things we had talked about on my segment of this brand new show, which is awesome. Everything Malcolm does is great. And, you know, I think you really need to go and listen. It's excellent. Voice of a Nation. But one of the things we talked about was school shootings. What's going on with them? You know, what have we learned? Where are we going? Have we moved the needle in any direction? Have we learned anything about these school shootings? Well, I could tell you this. When these things first started exploding in the modern era, okay, Columbine kind of and forward, and we started to see them, and we said, this is a phenomenon. You know, this is one of those things that's, for whatever reason, is happening. But it can't sustain itself. This is just too weird. Kids in our schools shooting each other, people attacking our schools. And then we saw the phenomenon expand out of there, and we saw a lot of shootings at businesses. And we see now we're seeing religious facilities attacked. And it all kind of coincides with the chaos of our society. So Malcolm had asked me if I thought there was some connection between, you know, video games and modern kids and, you know, the violence that they see and the violence that they're doing in the schools. And I said, well, I think there is a connection. You know, when I was a kid, I'm 57 years old. When I was a kid, we played the Army Man. We played all kinds of, you know, games where you were good guys and cops and robbers. We did all of that stuff. And then we didn't go out and shoot and kill people. We didn't go out and really rob banks. We didn't really go and attack our neighborhood, you know, or the next neighborhood over like the Army guys did. It was a release. It was part of the aggression that's part of being a male. Now, not all males, not every male. There are some females that are aggressive. You know, see, here I am in the world of political correctness right now, trying to figure out how not to offend anybody who's listening. The reality is that part of the male makeup is this this energy, this competition, this fight. How many fights do kids get in school, you know, fist fights in school? When I was a kid, that was part of what you did growing up. You know, you had a problem with somebody, you got in a fist fight, and then you settled it later on, you know. Later on, you said, hey, that was pretty good, you know, we had a pretty good fight. You became friends with those people, you know. Two totally different things. I don't think the link to regular aggression has anything to do with what these kids are doing now. I think part of the big problem is that these kids are exposed to the social medias and social media sites and platforms and all the things they're involved with that we didn't have. You know, when we had a problem in school with a particular person or a group of people, and they bothered us when we were in school, and then we got to go home and relax and have a different world. And then we dealt with it the next day. And eventually, maybe it heated up and there was a fist fight, and then it was over, or maybe it just kind of dissipated on its own. But these kids today, when a kid is, you know, ostracized, or when the kid doesn't fit in, when the kid's a little different, you know, back in the day, they called them some names, and then they kind of moved on. Now it gets on social media and they never stop. It's unrelenting. You know, these kids don't get a respite. They don't get to go home and turn it off. It's on, you know, they get texts and they're on social media and they're named and they're called names and they're told that they're hated and they should kill themselves. This is horrible. You know, this is never ending pressure. How many kids do we see now in the newspaper? Kids killing themselves over bullying. Okay? You know, it didn't happen back in the day. I knew a lot of kids who were bullied, and they found ways to cope with it. They didn't go kill themselves. Now we're seeing kids kill themselves because it is so much more intense. It is so much more painful and prevalent for these kids that they can't get away from it. So that's interesting. You know, we talked about, you know, is there a profile? And I found an interesting group, and I told you about them, the Bridget Company. And they figured out that, you know, this connection between people who are this is one of a couple of groups that end up being our shooters that are active killers in schools. If somebody is ostracized, if they don't fit in, if they're bullied, or sometimes they're the bully, when you cross those tents between being ostracized, kept out, not liked, not a lot of friends, and you're bullied or you're a bully, you cross those two tents, there's a chance there that these kids are going to act out. And I think what happens is that they see this on the media, that they see that this is how you should respond to things. You know, we all watch TV and movies and news and we respond to things. Well, I think these kids see in the news that, you know, some kid shot up his school, and they say, you know what? I hate these kids. I can do that too. That's an answer. Not that they want to be glorified. Not that they want to see their name on TV. I think some of them do that. You know, the Parkland kid certainly did. When you look at his videos, hey, I'll be the next shooter, he's saying on the video. So some of them do that. Some of them are self-aggrandizing by doing this. But I think the majority of these kids that do it just see, hey, that's what people do when you're pushed to the point that I'm pushed to, is you go and attack your classmates and you take it out on them and you use violence. So Voice of a Nation, the episode that I'm on, I'd really like you to go listen to it. It's on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock. Awesome new program. You can find it on AmericaOutloud.com. Go to that website. Take a look at all the different programs. I'm looking, you know, I'm saying, you know, 8 in the morning, we got the Dr. STEM show. 9 o'clock, The Misguided Life. 11 o'clock, The Energy Bar. 12 o'clock, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. 1 o'clock, What If I've Been Wrong? 2 o'clock, The Trump Chronicle. The Trump Chronicle. 3 o'clock, Chasing Justice. 4 o'clock, my buddy Lieutenant Randy on Blue Lives Radio. 5 o'clock, News Magazine. 6 o'clock in May, coming up, we have The Voice of a Nation. 7, The Mighty Show, Mighty 200 Show. 8 o'clock, Talking While Married. 9 o'clock, A Thread of Evidence. This is an unbelievable lineup. Go to the website, AmericaOutloud.com. Read the articles. Look at the different profiles of everybody that's here. It is really very, very cool. We're lucky that we have this available to us. It's awesome. All right. So I'm going to start going through my notes here. Let's look at something else that I see that I find this really interesting. And the media is really being stupid about this. We see President Trump's poll is anywhere between 42 and 46%. All right, that's what comes in approval rating, 42 to 46%. Does anybody really believe that he's at 42 to 46%? We know the polls are all wrong in the 2016 election. And I think what the dynamic we saw there was very clear was that the media and the left piled on with all of the power they have. And they have the media. They have the news. They have the talk shows. They have, I mean, the comedy talk shows late at night. They have all of this pressure that if you were a Trump supporter, you were an ugly, you were a deplorable, a matter of fact. You know, you are a hater, you're this, that, and the other thing. And we saw a lot of people who would not respond to polls by saying I was for Trump. I knew a lot of people that I would say, oh, the presidential election's coming up. And you could just see the people in the room trying to gauge each other. You know, you still, and you would see, you know, are you a Trump guy or you're a Hillary guy? Because people don't want to say the wrong thing because they don't want to be called out. You know, we see what's going out there. We see that the people on the left, they get triggered when you wear a hat. When a teenage kid wears a hat, they lose their mind. They throw stuff at them. So people don't want to get involved in that. How many people don't want to put a Trump sticker on their car because they're afraid their car will be damaged? All right, law enforcement people too. They don't want to put the blue American flag on there for the cops, because somebody will come along and smash your windows, cut your tires. Because the left are violent, crazy people. Not all of them. I have lots of people in my family and my friends who are to the left, and they are just left ideologically. But there's a lot of these people on the left that are violent people that do this. I just saw a video the other day. It was a pro-life group. All right, and they were on a college campus, and this girl lost her mind. She was a pro-abortion girl, and she came over, and she just lost her mind. She punched the guy in the face. Now, thank goodness, she's been arrested for her activity. But we see these people on the left do this all the time. They strike out. They attack. So when the media and everybody tells you you're a horrible, despicable person if you're for Trump, when the people poll you, hey, are you voting for Trump? No. No, I wouldn't vote for Trump. I don't hate. You can't say it at work. You see people lose their jobs. You see they're ostracized at their work if they're a Trump supporter. Their property is damaged. There's protests at their house. So I think just like 2016, there's lots and lots of people out there that go, hey, the guy, he fixed the economy. The guy, he's tightening up the military. The guy wants to tighten up our borders. Things are better than they were, a lot better. And yeah, I'm going to vote for him, but I'm not going to say I'm going to vote for him. I'm going to be in company. I'm going to be, oh, yeah, that guy's crazy. His tweets are ridiculous. They're absurd. Who could vote for him? Till they get in the booth and they're going to push that button for Trump because things are going really well. But people don't want to be bullied. We don't have enough of the media on our side for people to come out and support Trump. So therefore, people are going to back away from him. All right, so I thought that was pretty interesting. The poll says it's really low. Then we look at Biden and say, oh, look at this. There's four different declared Democrats that are running for president that already are out ahead of Trump. Biden's way ahead of him. He's like 53% to Trump's 41%. Why even have the election? Just declare Joe Biden the president right now. I think that's a lot of nonsense. Because I look at Joe Biden and I'm saying, you know, what's Trump calling? Sleepy Joe. I used to think he was probably an okay kind of guy, but he's a liberal. He's the most moderate, I think, of the pack that's out there. But he is a liberal. And now he's trying to adopt so many more, progressive liberal points of view because he realized part of that party, a huge part of that party now, are socialists. And they might do the pragmatic thing and go, well, we think this guy can beat Trump and we got to get Trump no matter what. But I don't know how that's going to work out with Joe Biden because I look at him and my nickname for him is Back to the Future Joe. You know, he says everything that Trump did is wrong. Everything he does is wrong. The country will not survive another 4 years of Trump. What do you mean not survive? You mean instead of having 4% growth, we might have 8%. We can't handle all this, influx of good times and stuff. I don't know. More winning. I don't know. We can't survive that. But that seems to be his MO here is that he's Back to the Future Joe. He wants to take us back to where we were before Trump won the election. He wants to take us back to the days of President Obama. And he wants to take us back to the dying economy and the jobs not there and people on welfare and people who can't afford anything and people who don't have anything. That's what it seems like that's what any of these Democrats are offering. You know, I'm not looking at them and saying they're evil people. What I'm saying is their ideas are not good. They want to take us backwards. They want to undo. How many of them said, first thing we're going to do is undo the Trump tax cuts. We're going to get rid of this. Well, okay. Mom and pop at the bottom level of the economy did not get $40,000 from the tax cuts. Big businesses did get a lot from the tax cuts. And what did those big businesses do? They hired people, which now you had a zero income, and now you have a job making $40,000 or $45,000, maybe $80,000, depends on the job you got. But instead of making nothing, you have a job, you have benefits, you can take care of your family. So while that money, a lot of it did go to the businesses and the rich because they pay most of the taxes, by the way, whether we like that or not, it's true. They turned around and said, okay, you're going to give me a tax break. I can expand my business now. I can grow my business and that grows the economy. You know, I listened to Rush for years and Rush used to say all the time, he'd say, you know, conservatism and conservative policies on the economy work every time they're tried. And he's right. It happened again. You know, Trump comes in and he comes up with tax cuts and very conservative policies and deregulation and the economy takes off. Reagan did it and the economy took off for 20 years of unbridled growth. When are we ever going to learn? When are we ever going to learn that this is what happens when you do things like this, when you unleash the free market, when you unleash capitalism, all right? Now, I know for me personally, all right, my world has changed for the positive because of the economy changing. And part of what I did there is that I'm thankful and grateful to God that I got to be part of this, that I get to work, that I get to do what I want to do and help my family. I've become much more charitable than I was before. Not because personally I wasn't charitable, just before I didn't have the money to be charitable. And now I've had some fortune. So what have I done? I've been more charitable. I think a lot of people have. I know a lot of people in my circle of life have also become much more charitable because now they got money. I know people that didn't have a job that are now putting in the collection plate at church. When they used to put a dollar, now they're putting $20. People who didn't have a lot at Christmas time, they're helping people who need things because that's how a growing economy and good things work. So when I see all these Democrats and all they say is, we're going to undo everything Trump did, the evil, evil Trump. We're going to undo it. We're going to go back in time. We're going to go back to the future, to the Obama future, where people are out of work, people don't have money, people don't have things. Is that really what people want? Or do they hate this president so much that they can't see he hasn't rounded up people that he doesn't like? He hasn't attacked people he doesn't like. He simply made things better. I mean, I'm trying to find what has he done horrible. He's done good things. If I saw he did something horrible, I'd say, man, that is horrible. Because that's what I do. I speak truth and justice. I don't see it. I don't like everything he says or the way he says it, but you know what? That's him. That's his personality. I bet there's a lot of people in Chasing Justice Land that don't like the things I say or don't like the way I say a certain thing or the jokes that I make about things or some of the skits that we put on the program. All right? I'm sure they do. Does that mean I'm an evil, bad person? No, it just means not everybody likes everything about everybody. So this guy, I think he's a winner. He's shown us he can win in life, and now he's been winning as the president. And our country is winning. So all of this politics stuff is really a game. They're playing us. Don't be played. Stay strong. Be smart. America is a good and great place. And we will continue to grow if we can be smart about what we're doing. We can't go back. We can't go back. What are you going to go back to the future with Joe Biden or one of these other Democrat candidates who want to undo everything that's just happened to change things? Hey, let's send all the jobs back out of the country. Let's go back to nothing. Really? Is that really what people are going to do? I don't imagine that it is. So you know what? This is going fast. The show's going fast today. I'll be back in a minute for round three here on Chasing Justice. And thank you very much for being here with me. I really appreciate it.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. The 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Ding, ding, ding. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go with round three of Chasing Justice. Joe Pangaro here, your host, and we are just cruising right through this afternoon. And I appreciate you all being here at 3 o'clock every weekday to join us on Chasing Justice and our attack on what's going on out in the world, because that's what we try and do. We look at things, we go and attack it and go after it. I want to thank you all for your emails and for your tweets and all the things you do. I really do appreciate it, and it validates what I'm doing here. And I'm just trying to be a voice for those that don't have a voice. So we're going to continue right on. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about my sponsors. Okay, one of the things that we talked about in the previous segment was school violence and school shooters and all that kind of stuff. Well, my company, True Security Design, and that's truesecuritydesign.com, please go visit the website. There's a lot on there about what we offer. We are nationwide. We will go anywhere to bring our services to you and your community, to your school, to your business, to your police department. We offer police training, high-quality police training to help our cops be the best they can be, help our schools to be safe, and our business communities to be safe and do the right things with their employees. So truesecuritydesign.com, that's the place to go take a look. You know, one of the things that we do when it comes to this business shootings or school shootings is that we're teaching everyone as best as we can to recognize that there's danger happening and then to respond really quick to protect ourselves. You know, in the heat of the moment when the bullets are flying. We're teaching our kids to lock down. We're teaching our kids to flee. We're teaching our business people to, you know, fight if that's what has to happen. And that's all well and good because you absolutely need to know how to do those things should you find yourself in the middle of violence. But I think there has to be more. I think because this phenomenon is not going away, I think this is part of our existence for the time being here. We have to be able to do something more. Okay, so what else can we do? Wouldn't it be great if we could prevent these events before they took place? Wouldn't it be great if we could identify potentially dangerous people and intervene before they strike out? Okay, whether that be in a school or in a place of work where you work. So how do you do that? Well, that's having, you know, threat assessment for a facility is understanding the strengths and weaknesses of a facility's infrastructure and how it's formed and the physical plant. A student-based or employee-based threat assessment is something that I've been teaching for the last couple of years. And it is the essence of intervention, because what you look for is you look for the signs and the symptoms of potentially violent people. All right. And then you intervene before they explode and hurt people. Now, this is good for a couple of reasons. Number one, you avoid the violence and the bloodshed of an active shooter incident. Number two, you save all those potential victims who might be killed or injured very badly. And number three, you stop that person who was going to do it and you intervene, and maybe you could turn their life around. You know, they're reacting out and doing things for all kinds of different reasons. But maybe some of these people could be saved before they attack, you know, but maybe we could help intervene and solve what their problem is so they don't have to hurt people, ruin their life and everyone's life around them. So True Security Design. This is a program I come to your school district and I teach your staff how to develop a threat assessment team. What to look for? What are the signs? What are the symptoms? What are the interventions? What's it mean when kids write and draw and do things? Same thing at a business. We go there and I look at the potential for danger in your staff and help you to overcome that. So I appreciate you listening to me. It's a couple of minutes of commercial here, but this is really an important topic. Even if I didn't provide this and teach it, I would be preaching it, because this is the next step in what we need to do. These things aren't going away. So therefore, we have to find a way to prevent them as best as we can. And, you know, reacting to them, we have to be ready for that. But it'd be so much better if we could identify it before it happens and intervene before anybody gets hurt. So truesecuritydesign.com. Give me a call at Pangaro Global. I'll answer your questions. You don't have to hire me. I'll answer your questions and get you going on the right road. But if you want us, we come anywhere. We go anywhere in the United States of America. We'll go there and help you out. All right, so that's that. Guys, I haven't talked about in a while is Blue Magazine. You know, Police Week is part of this season, and we have to, you know, think about our police officers and how they sacrifice for all of us, because they really do. But Blue Magazine, www.thebluemagazine, is something you want to go take a look at. And my final pitch for the day, I'm going to go back to the schools, but it's not something that I do. Okay, is vaping a problem in your school? Let that question settle in your head for a minute. Is vaping a problem in your school? Ask your kids. They'll tell you, yes, there's a lot of vaping going on. Ask the teachers. They'll tell you, yes, there's a lot of vaping going on. The problem is, you know, by the time you get into the bathroom, the kids hide the vape pens. They run out. You don't know who's doing it. You can't hold nobody accountable, and it just keeps going. Well, there's a company I know of out there called IP Video, the letter I, the letter P, video, .com. And they have created a vape detector. It's called the Halo. Now, there's a couple of other brands out there, but they don't work. Theirs give false positives because they're just sensing other things. The Halo vape detector is revolutionary. It has so many really high-tech sensors on board. It can identify vape smoke and whatever it is, fog or whatever puts out from the vape machine there. It can identify marijuana in that vape. It can identify tons of other chemicals, industrial chemicals, the condition of the air, all kinds of things that really can help you. It's internet powered, so you hook it up to your internet through some wires. It could send text messages to you as the vaping is going on. So a school principal or somebody gets a message, vaping in bathroom 306, and you run down there and there's the kids vaping. You can catch them. you can hold them to account, and hopefully the rest of the kids stop vaping in school. Maybe you can stop them from vaping altogether. All right, so there's my commercials for today. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. These are important things, things I believe in. So I'm glad we get to sit together and talk about it. So now, we started talking about this professor, and I guess I gave you a little bit of my opinion on it, but you know, when I see political correctness and where it's taking us, it really is leading us down a road of tyranny, because you can't say what you really believe. If you say something that is not politically correct, you can be attacked. And if you're on the right and you say something, there's a very good chance you could lose your job. You could be fired for what you say. All right? When I look at this professor, and again, I don't know Professor Sullivan. I don't know anything about him. I can imagine that he's a liberal kind of guy because he's from Harvard. But the fact is that he decided to do what any of us would need, is be an attorney for someone who's charged with a crime. And the students don't feel comfortable, and the school fires him. Now, what is that all about? Well, because the students aren't comfortable around you. What about the students in those schools who are not comfortable around these liberal nuts that jump out and attack people, punch them physically? What about these people who jump out and do things on the left that you know, that scare people, attack people with a MAGA hat, go after people? That scares those kids. Do we fire those people? Do we remove them from campus? No, we do not. Because that's part of the PC bandwagon, which is all part of the tyranny that is coming towards us. Because you can't have a conversation anymore. All right? Go to your local restaurant. Go to your local restaurant and stand up and clear your throat and say, "Hi, everybody. I support President Trump, and I'm pro-life, and I'm a conservative." What do you think's going to happen to you? You got the guts to try that? Right? Because we all know what'll happen. You'll be attacked verbally. People probably throw stuff at you. They'll follow you out. They'll smash your car. Right? Because that's what the left does. So this political correctness is dangerous for all of us. It's leading us down a bad road. And these kids are following suit. The kids are not comfortable. So they can't have conversation anymore. They can't talk to people anymore. They can't have somebody come to their school and say something that they disagree with because they can't stand to hear it. Oh my gosh. What are we allowing to happen to our children? That they can't listen to a different point of view. That they can't listen to somebody who has a point of view different than theirs. If it upsets them, they can't listen to it. They're going to be triggered. They're going to be upset. They're going to be full of anxiety. These are the people that are going to take over the country in a little while. All right? What are we doing here? Allowing this to happen. But you know what? Why don't I fight against political correctness? Because I'm busy going to work every day. Because I go to work every day. I don't have time to go protest and march and jump up and down and go to Washington and scream and holler. So instead, I just live my life and go to work. But the other side, they have time to protest. They do scream and holler. They show up and people listen to them. So I'm going to suggest this. We know that some of our conservative friends are under attack and they're being boycotted. All these people go after their sponsors from these TV news shows and stuff. I would say find out who those sponsors are and then call them and tell them, if you pull your programming off of there, I'll never buy your product again. See, because we got telephones and we got time to make a call. And then I would go out and buy their product and say, see, look at the power you have here. We're buying your product. Don't you dare take your sponsorship off those programs. That's just a thought. And like a man with a grievance, I digress. So as I'm looking through my notes here, I'm trying to see. So we have Don Jr. got subpoenaed. So you say to yourself, and was by a right conservative guy in the Senate, going to subpoena him to come back and talk about the Mueller report some more. What else could this guy offer? It sounds like a trap, doesn't it? It sounds like some swamp creature figured, hey, let me get this guy in here and let me do something here to upset this apple cart. I don't get it. I really don't understand that. But I got to say, a couple weeks ago I told you I was thinking about Lindsey Graham and he was starting to impress me. He has impressed me more and more each and every week. And I hope he's real. I hope this is real and he's not just playing an angle, you know, to get on the conservative side because he sees the popularity of Trump. I hope this is really who Lindsey Graham is, because I got to tell you, he's doing yeoman's work. I'm very impressed with this guy, and you know, if I had a chance to tell him that, I certainly would. He's starting to convince me that he's real. I'm hoping Bob Barr keeps doing what he's doing so he can convince me that he is real. So I want to talk a minute now about some of the things going on in the Congress. Did you ever think that in America we would seriously be considering socialism? Growing up, I never would have imagined that that was a possibility. Now, I'm not stupid. I watched around the world. I watched Europe go socialist. I watched different places go socialist. It has a lot of allure, I guess, you know, because everyone's going to be equal. Everyone's going to get everything they need. You're going to get everything for free. We're going to take it from those who have too much, and we're all going to share in it. So I kind of get the appeal that people see. None of it's real. You can only take so much from people, and then you run out of things, and then there's nothing for anybody. We've seen the history of this over and over and over again. So there's no real mystery to what happens with socialism and communism, but there seems to be an appeal to it. So that's the first thing. I never thought I would have seen that be a real viable option. Now, maybe at the moment it's not a real viable option, but it's growing. We see lots of people in the Congress now that are openly socialist and anti-American, and they're gaining speed. They are actually having people believe in them and openly come out and support them. The thing I never thought I would see in America would be anti-Semitism. You know, again, this is something that, if we look at history, we see anti-Semitism has been part of human life for centuries. The Jewish people have been attacked over and over and over again. Now, I'm not Jewish, but that doesn't mean I can't open my eyes and see these things. All right? The State of Israel was created after World War II, after the horrors that the Jewish people had to suffer in the Holocaust. Now, the people, for somebody in this day and age, for anyone to be taken seriously when they say, you know, they're a Holocaust denier, when we know the evidence, we know what we saw, we know what happened, that's the first step to rising anti-Semitism. You know, and it has a tendency, it disappears for a while, and then it starts to appear. And the fact that we're now seeing anti-Semitic activities from members of the United States Congress, I never, ever, ever thought I would see that. You know, I don't know, you know, I'm Italian and Irish, and if you don't like the Italian and the Irish people, okay, well, that's whatever. But we weren't persecuted the way the Jewish people were. And as a kid, I remember learning about World War II and learning about the Holocaust and the concentration camps. And I saw the video of these people, these human beings that were treated the way that were murdered and killed. Little children and families were wiped out like it was nothing. That much evil was allowed to flow across the planet. And we wiped it out. We vanquished it. We destroyed the Nazis. And slow and steady, we see that hatred coming back. And when I see people in the United States Congress making commentary that is clearly anti-Semitic, and I see people in the Democratic Party supporting it, either openly or by trying to justify it or to talk it away or to say something else, other than to point it out and go, that's anti-Semitic. Now, that doesn't mean you can't disagree with the State of Israel. You can't disagree with the policy they have. You can't disagree with a politician who is Jewish. Doesn't mean any of that. Anti-Semitism is different than that. See, and they try and cloak the two. They try and make it so, well, if you talk bad about this, then you must be... No, that's not... See, that's why calling people names is a problem. All right, so if you don't like something that Israel did and you have facts to back up your point of view, I don't like the policy they have in place when it comes to driving trucks across the desert. Well, that's a policy, just like saying you're against something the American government does. You can be against that. It's the attacks that they have on the Jewish people when they use these old sayings, when they draw these cartoons, the New York Times puts out these cartoons that are inherently anti-Semitic. And the only reason they had to pull it back is because so many people screamed about it. Why would they put it out in the first place? Why do we not have this built-in radar to notice, uh-oh, this is going down a wrong road. We shouldn't do this because we know where this can lead. It has led to the death of millions of people. We can't allow it. We have to speak out. It's not right. And I see it growing in the Democrat Party, and it is shocking to me. It is absolutely shocking that in our country, socialism would be something people would consider, and anti-Semitism is on the rise. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to end on a good note here for this week. Okay, those are depressing ideas, but we need to think about it. We are the solution, not the problem. All right, you have to make your voices heard. I know a lot of people don't like to say call, but I'm telling you, call Congress. Tell them, don't do this. Go against this anti-Semitism. Go against this socialism. Be pro-American. Support our military. Support our law enforcement. Support our first responders. And let's all do the right thing. All right? We're all in this together. We're Americans. We have to look out for each other. We have to thank God for this nation. Because this is a gift from God. It's the greatest land ever to come to mankind. And I'm proud of it. And I love my country. So, with that note, I'm going to leave you, and we'll see you next time here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.